I am not Kurt Nock. Kurt is not with us. Kurt is not with us today. He is too busy making money. He's packing up the 7,000 records into 1,000 boxes from his most recent auction. Those of you who are not familiar with Kurt Nock and his auctions, there are copies of the auction that has just closed out on the table outside for the taking, and I believe there probably will be a pad to get put on his mailing list. A crass commercial message, to use the 78L. Okay. And notification of another resource, as also a crass commercial message, is the talk today, the newly published American Record Labels and Companies, an encyclopedia, co-authored by Alan Sutton and Kurt Nock. And the main difference is what you will see in a few moments about the CD-ROM, which you're seeing the homepage of. I was thinking when Kurt told me a week or two ago that he was not going to be able to be here of trying to find somebody with a buzz cut to read this. Maybe you wouldn't notice the difference, and back sheets might have been one of our possibilities. Also, I was thinking maybe I could find someone who has right-wing leanings a little bit to the right of Attila the Hun. Maybe also nobody would notice the difference. Kurt and I have had a long-standing agreement to disagree on anything political, and so we just kid around with each other, that I'm destroying I'm decadently destroying the the country and the world. So I just want to explain that the fact that this paper that he has written is very personal. It is very much in first person. To make it easy on myself and on you, I'm going to read it in first person. So I just want to make it clear that that whenever it says I or me, I had nothing to do with this. I'm only passively reading this paper, so all of the credits should go to Kurt when he says I. It's now been well over a century that the technology has existed to record and playback sounds. Methods, materials, and media have continued to change during that time. But with the advent of digitalization, the number and variety of recording formats seems to be growing exponentially. How can we classify these sound recording documents? What attributes and characteristics are important? And how do they relate to one another? Is it possible to develop a method of systematically describing recordings which would meet the needs of the archivist, discographer, dealer, collector, and historian? I do not know, but these are questions I've wrestled with over the last several years during my work with the American Vintage Record Labelography, and more recently with the American Record Label Image Encyclopedia. The questions I've asked are relevant as to whether we are describing cassettes or CDs, radio transcriptions, or WAV files. But I only have the expertise to comment on 78 RPM and cylinder recordings. Therefore, my work deals exclusively with these formats. Whether or not these methods may be adapted to other media is not for me to say, but it might provide a starting point for persons interested in pursuing that course. After much consideration, it appears to me that the attributes of any given vintage record can be divided into four major areas: purpose, content, characteristics, and entities. Each of these main headings may be further categorized as on this outline. And we'll turn this on and this off for the time being. It will be immediately apparent that I don't think that we need to really kill the lights on it over. Yeah, that would be fine. It'll be immediately apparent that it will seldom be necessary, even possible, to describe a recording to the degree proposed by this outline. A collector of Benny Goodman records will probably not be interested in the price of the record or the name of the recording engineer. A label collector will not be interested in the composer credits. and an archivist will probably not care about the color of the shellac. Nevertheless, each category of information might at one time or another be important to someone, and it would seem advisable to devise an outline which includes as much information as possible. Such a method would allow the end user to pick and choose just what information is important to him and not restrict the range of information available to someone else. As you can see, a full description of any given record would be a complex and tedious process. However, much of the information can be assigned globally by dealing with groups of records. For instance, if one were working with Columbia 35,000 Red Label Pop Series, the following data could automatically be assumed: public use, commercial pressing, shellac laminate construction, 10-inch two-sided disc with a normal size spindle hole, 78 RPM lateral recording containing one track on each side with lead-in and lead-out groups, standard 35,000 series Red Label Columbia design in the Columbia label family. Occasional anomalies in this series would be dealt with on a case-by-case basis. But what I really want to focus on is category 3C, labels, as it pertains to category 1A1, public use commercial pressings. For too long, there's been no systematic approach to the classification of American vintage 78 RPM phonograph labels. Label varieties are often ignored by many collectors, with a few notable exceptions, Victor Scroll label, for example. Indeed, the study of label types has traditionally been the exclusive domain of the label collectors and a relatively small group of record collectors interested in acquiring the absolute original pressings of rare jazz and blues recordings. To my knowledge, the first serious published attempt at label classification was done by William Love in a series of articles for Jazz Information in 1940. Generally speaking, these articles covered only the major classic jazz and blues labels. Photographs and descriptions of label varieties were presented, along with information concerning the highest known catalog numbers for each label style. Further efforts to document various labels have sporadically appeared since the Love series, including notable articles in Record Research, Record Changer, New Amarola Graphic, Antique Phonograph Monthly, The Record Collector, and other collector publications. Initially published in 1978, the American Record Label Book by Brian Rust was the first major work covering American labels and their histories. As an aside, personally for me, Mike Beale, there were a lot in that book that were not American record labels. They had sometimes very tenuous American ties, but that's my editorial opinion, and that was in my review in the RS Journal. However, back to Kurt. However, Russ did not go into much detail concerning label varieties, and his book was therefore of little use in systematically cataloging vintage record labels. Alan Sutton's book, A Directory of American Disc Record Brands and Manufacturers, 1891 to 1943, was a vast improvement on Rust's book, but no labels were pictured. On the other hand, efforts by Ron Defelson and Steve Sylvester to document Edison labels, Dan Mahoney's work on the Columbia Viva Tonals, and Helga Thyssen's book on Black Swan have presented clear and detailed pictures of the evolution of label styles within those particular companies. The most concise and comprehensive guide yet to arrive on the scene is Michael Sherman's 1992 publication, The Collector's Guide to Victor Records. This book set the standard for future label guides and remains the authority for Victor 78 RPM labels. A similar, though smaller, work by Sherman and Nock entitled Note the Notes accomplished the same task for the Columbia label. In spite of the incredible work that's been done within individual labels, there is still no established guide to vintage record label classifications. As a result, the hierarchies designed by Defelson, Love, Sherman, et al. Are quite serviceable in and of themselves, but they are not constructed in such a way to allow for easy compilation into a larger label guide. Sam Berlofsky urged me to develop a label classification system years ago when we were developing data entry rules for the AVRL, but it wasn't until Alan and I began cataloging labels for Arley that I really started to work on structured naming systems. I hope the rules and framework for label classifications presented here, along with the label taxonomies given in Arley CD-ROM, will enable collectors, dealers, and archives to more easily and accurately identify and order their commercially issued record labels. And this now is the next slide. I'm going to be careful not to shine the light in my eye. The following information is taken directly from the Arley CD-ROM. It's designed for use with Category 3C labels as pertains to Category 1A1 commercial public use commercial pressings. Note the label example to illustrate this is not real. Label authority name is ACME 3. This will generally be the same name that appears on the label itself, although it might be simplified, i.e. standard, instead of standard disc record. In certain other cases, the given authority name might be assigned to a family of labels in order to achieve a straightforward, ordered chronology. A prime example of a label family would be Victor, which would include Gram O-Phone, Victrola Improved, Deluxe, Monarch, and RCA, among others. Each of these label names is classified under the family name of Victor, while the actual label names are treated either as series or variants, as an individual case may warrant. To qualify as a label family, the parent organization must be essentially the same company from beginning to end. Owners may change, corporate structure may vary, the company may go through bankruptcy or other upheaval, but the consumer would probably not notice any change without reading the fine print on the labels or sleeves. Catalog number series will generally continue without interruption. Columbia would be another good example of such a company. Client and budget subsidiary labels would not be considered part of the label family in this context, even though they're related. The label authority name should be followed by a numeral in parentheses if there are any other identical authority names assigned to unrelated labels. There probably would be instances in which a given label would be commonly referred to without this numerical identifier, even when other labels with the same authority name exist. This would occur in the case where the label in question is very common and the others are very seldom encountered. Now, the actual label name, ACME Records. The country of issue was not used in this example, but it will be necessary when classifying non-U.S. labels going into other publications. For instance, American Decca and English Decca were totally different companies using totally different material. Therefore, a distinction must be made when referring to records released by these two companies. A special series designation, like race series here, should only be used when the series being described uses a radically different label style other than the normal label, such as the Columbia Symphony series, which appeared with the banner label. Major label variety, this was where it says Eagle pictured on top. This special series designation should only be used when the series being described was a radically different label style other than the normal label. Oh, wait a minute, I just read. Okay, major label variety, this is level using large Roman numerals. It's based primarily on basic label designs and therefore it's used only for major label varieties or label changes. And then he has several different sub-varieties, scroll surrounding a address of 1440, phonograph logo at 6, four patent numbers of 5 o'clock. These are major, they'll reflect chronological changes in label name, general design, color, position of information, label size, corporate identity, office, sales, agents or stores, patents and registrations, and awarded prizes. Notices, prices, and changes in typeface will not normally be used to establish chronological label varieties, since these features are usually subject to change in a non-chronological manner. We all know of times when typefaces change and then change back, or one pressing plant uses a different type style than another one does. The notation UC is unconfirmed, and it may be used after a major or varietal notation to indicate uncertainty as to whether or not the variety is in the proper chronological order. In this illustration, UC is used to indicate the variation listing the Broadway address, and it may or may not have preceded another type, type 1A2 UC. Hopefully these questions would be resolved by the next edition, and we would be able to confidently place all varieties in their proper order. The notation NC is used to indicate the varieties described are not chronological. For instance, this might occur if different label styles or names were used during the same time period. In the illustration here, it's used to indicate that the logo was at 6 o'clock on the label during the same time period that it appeared in another position on other labels. Whenever used, the NC designation should always appear on two or more adjacent varieties in order to clearly reflect which varieties were issued contemporaneously. The series was not used in this example. This might be indicated here if a general label style or evolution coincides with that of the normal label. Color, this is used if color variety is not chronological. For example, Victor Wings may be black, blue, red, or purple. In most cases, only the predominant colors should be mentioned. And comments. This is where it says exclusive artist variety. Comments should be used to indicate a variation within a given label type that is not chronological in nature, but instead would probably relate to the use or purpose of the record itself. An example would be the Curtains label variety used for Victor's acoustical Caruso recordings dubbed over electrical orchestral accompaniments. So we would have the following label description for this record. Acme, parentheses, 3, Race Series 1.A.1UC dot ANC dot I dot Red dot Exclusive Artist. Quite a mouthful. Periods are probably the best separators, which I used in the computer ease of dots when I spoke it. Though they might not be necessarily once persons become familiar with the nomenclature. Also, it may not be necessary to include the UC and NC designations when describing the label in a reference book or catalog, as these descriptors would really only be needed if a master label index key of names and varieties, such as in the Arley outline. It may seldom be necessary to describe a given record in this much detail. Nevertheless, these rules will enable one to be as specific as the need requires. There's a note here about series. One of the headaches associated with label classifications is the problem dealing with numerous label series one usually encounters. And there are several general approaches that the record companies used. And each approach must be dealt with in a different way. Number one, in some cases, special series were used for different types of music or genres and were issued with label designs that differed radically from their contemporary mainstream counterparts. Example, he said this already. Example of the Columbia Symphony series. In other cases, special series used for different types of music or genres were issued during the same general period as the mainstream pop series, but with different colors, minor label varieties, or special series designations, such as personality series or swing classics on the Victor Scroll and on the Decas. In these instances, the label should be described within the same master label number and structure as the mainstream series, but the series designation or the label color may be appended at the end of the description, such as a perfect the Roman numeral 2.A star series. There are some instances where record companies regarded different sizes of records as different series and gave them special names. For instance, at one point, Victor was issuing 10 and 12 inch records with the names Monarch and Deluxe, respectively, and Special Deluxe for 14s. Since these sizes were issued concurrently, two different label varieties appear in the outline using the NC designation. He has Victor dot Roman numeral 4 dot BNC and Victor Roman numeral 4 dot CNC. In many cases, the only difference between special series labels and their mainstream counterparts was the use of different catalog number blocks. In this scenario, the same type, the same name might not be needed to be mentioned at all, or the series name might not be needed to mention at all, like the 35,000 series or the 12,000, 13,000, 14, 15,000 in Columbia-Ds. It can be seen that categorizing label varieties is an inexact science at best. What works for one label family might not work for another. Changes that would be considered a major modification for one label might be considered only a minor alteration for another. The structure developed for the encyclopedia may not be ideally suited to all labels, but there's no one perfect solution. Comments and suggestions would be appreciated. So that's the end of the main body of Kurt's talk. I guess, Alan, would be a good idea to show the... Because this is the... This is what everybody was waiting for. I might add that he printed out a listing here of all of the labels that appear on it. This is a file that is on the CD-ROM, and this will be available for you to take a look. So if you want to see if your favorite label is included, you can look at this while someone else is scrolling through the CD-ROM itself. And I guess at this point, these are the thumbnails.
Yeah, let's bring it back down to earth a little bit. this is really... Yes.
I'll stay here.
This is really the end result of Kurt's work. This is the Arley CD-ROM that's included in the back of the book. This is... much more visual. If any of you were just dazzled by what you heard, I hope this makes up for it a little bit. Essentially, when you open this file, you start off with a thumbnail screen that has about 1,100 thumbnails. There are various ways to manipulate this. Where we're probably going with this in the future would be something more like the screen that should be coming up here. Let's see. Eventually, we hope to get rid of the 1943 cutoff date and to get rid of the limitations on strictly commercial recordings and go to an entirely CD product that would look something like what you see here, where you would have text integrated with the images in one single product. We'd get away from the hard copy entirely just because we're updating so often as it is now. Kurt has also included on here the underlying database that you can get to, which is, at the moment, pretty standard stuff. Groove type, diameters, label colors. We'll expand this quite a bit in the future. You can also sort on this. For example, if you want to look up everything that was produced in the Universal format, it's very easy to search on Universal. You can search on any number of keywords, brand names, formats. It will sort automatically into new galleries for you. The labels themselves can be printed out. They can be cut, copied, pasted. Very low resolution on the thumbnails, as you can see. There is actually a way to blow them up. Yes? That's that. Had I known that had happened, it wouldn't be there. That's actually Kurt's copyright for the scan, which I think is tremendously misleading. Right. That of course is in the main book, and you know the big weakness here is you'll be shifting back and forth from the book to the CD constantly. The 2000. Yeah. Had I known that had happened, it would not have happened. It's sorry about that. No, I hope not. Yeah, this too is very much beta. We have a lot of things that need to be changed, I think. But that's a real good point. Any other questions on this?
Perhaps just another follow-up on the
Yes.
Of course, many times there will be a date on the label, mm-hmm. a copyright date, and it is a copyright date for either the manufacturer or the print of the label.
Right.
It will say copy 1920, when in fact, as you know, the actual...
Strictly a design copyright, yeah. Yeah, well, we run into that constantly. People, you know, every Victor was made in 1908.
Yeah. So,
yeah, on the same day in 1908.
Well, of course, there also is that date code on the Columbia labels. Is that included on here, the information?
Not in here. It is in the book. Again, you know, we're really trying to move away from having this in book form and eventually get everything onto the CD so you're not moving back and forth. So you'll find much more detail. This is very, very basic detail in the database. It's more just a way to get you to see the labels and give you an idea of, you know, roughly the name. Get back to the thumbnails. The thumbnails, by the way, can be sized up. We have them at really low resolution here just to get everything on the screen. They can be sized up to 256 by 256. But if you want to actually blow it up all the way. Then you get into some fairly high resolution stuff. Now, we have found out that the highest resolution files don't display well on the Mac. If any of you folks are Mac users, you can still get into the thumbnails, you can get into the database, but you can't get into the high res files apparently at this point. Questions, comments?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.